Thank the Light, everyone. I'm excited to be here tonight, and these are my wolf brothers.
I'll be your much calmer Sedai this week as opposed to being a spastic asshole.
And I'm your chopped and screwed cousin Jeremy.
There we go. There we go. I knew some. See, that's why we have three people here, because someone can figure it out.
I don't know what any of that means, but all the kids are talking about it.
This is definitely. Have you guys looked? So the website is like full of fan edits, right?
I got kind of boned up about that. There's like X-Men. I think there was. I might have seen Harry Potter. I might just be wishful thinking on that one, but there was a bunch of stuff. I was like, cool.
You turned out. Eight or what is it, nine Harry Potter movies into a 30-minute edit.
Fuck you.
Nailed it.
Hermoine?
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. Before I even tell anybody what we're doing, I want to, we did something cool today. And I want to make sure that we thank everyone for this process. On Reddit, they are u/WoteFanEdit. On Twitter, @WoteFanEdit. I don't know what Y is. What's Y?
YouTube.
Oh, ha! Wheel of Time Fan Edit Project. And what's E?
Email.
Oh, there it is.
Do you not see the Gmail at the end of it?
I didn't actually read it. I was trying to say what it was for before I get it.
I'm our continuity director. That's my title, I remember. I just remembered. Right. Except I'm a huge stoner and I have ADD, so nothing's going to have any continuity. But I'm still in charge of it, so fuck both of you.
So that's votefanedit@gmail.com. Justin!
What
does all this mean?
Okay, hold on. So I think we talked about this, like, I don't know, it's been a while. You and I were like, oh, there's this thing that, I think it was even before Jeremy, he'd only come on a couple. It was like, oh, there's this thing and they're editing, you know, the first season down into a, you know, I would say probably you'd cut it into two, like a part one and part two, like, you know, fellowships.
With an intermission.
Yeah, like for Fellowship of the Ring style, like really long, but cut it into two pieces. So it's more to an hour and 45, or, you know, almost 2 hours.
It's like Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, it's fucking long, but I mean, you know, you're doing a whole season. So it's just a hobby project, and, you know, we're kind of like, oh, you know, that'd be cool. Because, and then after I got actually really excited about it even more when we watched the Rinner Dragon recut, when I just saw like what differences, like lighting and cutting some of the like eternal, like, Iena shots, you know, where he's literally like, yeah, dude, you're insane, we get it, everyone's dead. Move on. Go talk to Billy Zane as Asmodean.
Always.
Hashtag.
Anyways, I got really excited about this, and I knew it was done, or maybe I missed it, but then I just randomly decided that I was going to direct message this person. I'm pretty sure it's a male Aes Sedai. I don't know. Just saying. I was like, hey, so, you know, is this done yet or whatever? And he, you know, I showed you guys the tweet. He tweeted back right away. He's like, yeah, it's done. You could watch it here, here, and here. And he's like, I'd love any feedback, you know? So I was like, well, okay. You got three fucking big nerds that are probably going to give you lots of feedback, whether you like it or not. You know, I just kind of, we messaged back and forth a couple of times, and he was like, you know, yeah, I would love, you know, I was like, well, we're going to, you know, review it on the podcast if that's okay with you. He was like, yeah, is that okay? Yes, that'd be great. He's like, I'd love to come on, you know, either during or afterwards. I was like, well, we're going to, you know, record it now. And then, you know, when can we get in touch with you? And he's like, well, these are the days I can do it. I'd love to come on. And I was like, cool. So that's how it happened.
Do we have his name?
No, he's contemplating on staying anonymous. Right now, he's just going by the editor.
Okay.
So I told him, he was, you know, I said, I don't use my, by the way, quit calling me by my name. Just say Fatty. I don't really want my name out there that much.
Got it.
It's not your fault. I just was like, you know what? I got to tell my cousin to stop saying my actual name, because not that I care that much. It's just, I'd rather just be known by Parchayoman or Fatty, because it's like,
got it.
I'm not doing this to get famous. I'm doing it to have fun. And
you're doing it to get money. Become filthy rich.
I am Desmond McNeese. You can find me at whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. My name is Desmond McNeese.
And if you email him there, he'll tell you all my name and address.
I'll tell you where the bunker in the woods is.
Yep. Good luck finding it.
Yeah. Seriously, I had very good directions, and I still was kind of like,
Even when we were coming out here to look at it, I'm like, are we going to Canada? We're pretty much there. I don't know. Anyways, I can't go to Canada, but hey.
All right. So I already thanked everyone. Justin told us how he came into it. Jeremy, what the fuck is it?
Yeah. So this is a love letter to the first season. Honestly, it is one of the.
You're being
the,
funny, but that's
no.
Yes.
I'm not. I am. I'm naturally that way. It just comes off. but this guy, this guy went through and he cleaned it up. And if you're gonna do like what we're gonna do this year and go back and rewatch some of the shows, we're gonna rewatch every episode. But if you don't want to take the time and rewatch, you know, the entire season before the second season comes out, man, hit this guy up. Watch this fan edit because he hits all the high points. He cuts out almost everything that I complained about and even Justin found, you know, not too good. But he just cuts all that stuff out.
Like things you could do without. I'm like, yeah, I like it because I'm a fucking nerd and I will take, you know, I'm like a... I'm a parched salmon in a desert. I will drink all of it up.
Yes.
And probably say, thank you, sir. May I have another? But there are things that maybe weren't as palatable as I would have liked. And this, like you said, it dumps fucking all of it.
Yeah. And it's all those.
We will put the link in the notes. It is Fire Merc, M-E-R-K studios.com/Wheel of Time, Eye of the World. And you have to sign up. You don't have to pay anything, but you do have to make an account to watch it, and it's totally fucking worth it.
Yeah, it takes about 25 seconds to make it, and it's totally worth it. And there's, like you said, little plug for them. There's tons of other shit on there that I'm actually probably going to go watch at some point.
You just enter your social security number and your credit card, and then next thing you know, you are signed up.
And tag CC, thank the light. What sounds awesome? And, you know, we'll get you all signed up.
That's Desmond McNeese.
Fatty's birthday is...
file all police complaints for fraud against Desmond McNeese. That sounds awesome. No, we're going to cut this. Cut it.
So would you say... So not only is this a love letter or a condensing or a getting rid of the fat, I think he... And we'll get to talk to you. I think... What he did was he just kept everything in that was true to the book. Because it's called Eye of the World.
True.
So he made the book.
Yeah, it made like, it's, I mean, it's a love letter, dude. It's exactly what it is. It hits everything that you need to know. All the like really important shit from Eye of the World. And Amazon should probably hire him. So.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, if you can.
At least for like key grip lighting, something. And like, honestly, like dude has a good vision. Like the way it ran. And the pacing and the arc, like Rand's arc, how Rand's arc comes together. And he said this to me specifically in the, he's like, how Rand's arc starts and finishes basically with Tigraine. And then he goes to the Eye of the World. It's like, it really comes full circle and it's so good. It makes Rand's parentage while giving you clues. It doesn't solve it completely, but you know, and you know, there's, you see a basically where he came from, but you know, there's so much more to the story. And it's like, it's really. It leaves you wanting more the way he sets it up, I think.
I would just with the pacing of Rand's arc, like, did they, I couldn't remember if they move. I mean, obviously the opening scene was taken from episode 5 or 6. So that was obviously a big move. But was there anything else that you noticed huge that they moved around to make Rand's pacing better? Or was it more just that we just got to it?
I think, no, you know, if, for me, I have some pretty extensive notes here. I don't think he did too much of the moving around, but he cut a lot of the things that were superfluous that took the focus off of Rand. And so he...
Yes. Well, did you guys read the little blurb underneath?
I did not.
Okay. So go ahead and finish your thought, Jeremy. I'm sorry to interrupt, but then I'll jump in afterwards.
No, I just, especially since, as we've been talking about, I'm rereading book 1 again. And you... The way that really irritated me with the TV show was setting it up like one of you will be the dragon. And right. That is not how it is. And that's not how it is in the books. The Moraine is like, the Dark One is afraid of something or is afraid of one of you guys. And I don't know why. And they really don't even bring up the dragon at all.
Which for TV purposes is okay.
I don't know. I don't think it worked out.
But it shouldn't be the soul... It you know, I see what they were trying to do, but I think they put too much focus on like that reveal. You're going to hear basically what just came out of your mouth from this dude.
Okay.
He was like, so I'm just going to read a little bit. The parameters, he's like, tell the story of season 1 in the format of a feature film. This was the driving consideration for most of my editorial choices. I want to tell the best season of version 1 story for this film without considering setups for sequels. World building is best if if it kept and it serves a narrative purpose, in my opinion. Keep the length of the film to less than 5 hours. To aim for closest possible is 4 hours, so as to make it like a part one, part two. So you can deliver largely the same overall story that you get from season one with stuff that can be cleanly removed, patched, or moved, while only to make it better, which is kind of what you're saying. We want to reduce or eliminate any narrative inconsistencies, confusions, contradictions, and where reasonable, improve our pacing, plot, characterizations by trimming, cutting scenes, moving them, etc. My specific objectives, story spoilers for the fan edit. I wanted to de-emphasize the narrative and the focus on the mystery of the dragon. The question should exist, but it should not be the central plot of the film.
Amen, brother.
100% what you're saying, and I, yes, second, third, and fourth that. They want to increase the sense of conflict in Rand about his identity. I think he totally succeeded, but you still get to see who he is as a character 100%. Like, he's the right guy to be the dragon, in my opinion.
This guy did such a great job. Like, I didn't even read that.
Yeah.
But through his editing, I could tell.
Right.
He was focusing more on Rand, who is, guys, spoiler alert, he's the hero of the story. Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy. And you know what? He couldn't get it done without Rand. Rand and Perrin and Egwene and all, exactly, are all also heroes of the story too. But Rand is the hero with the capital T-H-E.
Yes, it is. Okay. Harry Potter, right? Harry Potter is the boy who lived, and he is the main focus.
And Nynaeve is Hermione.
Yes.
Hermione.
Granger.
And there will be like huge sections where you'll never even see Rand in the future. But right now, when you need to focus on him, they kind of drop the ball. And this guy's trying to piece it together.
I think he did a good job with it. The other things that are like, they really wanted to...
And I'm really talking with my hands today.
Yeah.
They wanted to recharacterize. And I think this succeeded. I totally, and Lisa actually pointed this out. She's like, I like that you don't, Lan and Moraine are really mysterious. You really don't know what their intentions are when they show up, even after the Trollocs there. And they do a good job of like kind of focusing on Rand's, like when he gets kind of pissed at Moraine, you know, and it's like, they still are just kind of like, well, whatever, man.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, too bad. And I think they did a good job with that as well. And they wanted, one of the things I noticed 100%, that one of the first things I noticed besides the opening is that Matt didn't steal shit.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They wanted to really re-emphasize Matt being poor, not a fucking thief.
Oh, you're right.
And he says that point blank. I wanted to make Matt poor, not a thief. And he's like, I wanted to make Tom, Emilisa, Agomar more noble and good-hearted without, like, they leave out their mere spiritedness and selfishness.
Yes.
Like, if you notice at the end, Agomar's not talking about glory, you know, and, you know, it looks as if Emilisa did what she did because she thought there was no other choice, not because she just couldn't stand being, oh my God, I'm seduced by the power. It was just like, this has got to be done.
Yeah.
And like, so, and I think he succeeded in all of those things.
You notice he cut out the fish flopping scene too?
Yeah.
He cut out the whole stepping thing,
mm-hmm,
which I was like, oh, so good. Right?
Oh.
Cut all that out. Oh, and he cut out all the pre-stuff with Swan.
Yep.
All when she was a kid.
He cut all the cold opens except for the opening scene, right?
Pretty much, right? Yeah. Well, I'd have to go back and rewatch it.
I have an edit list if you guys want me to tell you exactly what he did.
Oh, hey, everything stops.
What?
Where's the baby?
Where's that baby? Where's he at?
Cut that baby.
Where the fuck is the baby?
Where the fuck is that baby?
Can you read that?
He cut the baby. 3 exclamation points. See, and I have, you want to see mine? You want to see mine?
He cut the baby out. That sounds horrible. He cut the baby out.
Want to see my notes? There's no numbers and you completely illegible.
Man, you have really good handwriting.
Oh, that was the one. That's right. I thought it was the baby one that I said, no.
Glad that they kept the, one of the things I even wrote down, like, I'm glad that they, oh, you actually tried to kill me. From Lan and Nynaeve. I was like, that had to happen.
Yeah, that part was great. That was another thing I wanted to ask you, Des, because, you know, you're the only person here. I don't know about Fatty, but I've never edited anything in my life that I can remember. So the amount of time that goes into this, what are we talking about?
Oh my gosh.
Because you're talking 8 episodes of an hour.
Yeah, because you're talking audio and he's talking having to do all of it.
Well, but he did such a good job with the audio too. Like, you know, he could have just chopped out the scenes he wanted and ran them back to back and it still would have been interesting, but it wouldn't have been professional. like the amount of care he, because we're probably talking 100 hours just to do a shitty job.
Really? Wow.
And but then he's running audio from the previous scene into the next scene to hide the cut even more.
I didn't even pick up on that.
There isn't that like the music doesn't just stop when he goes to the next scene. Like he lets that song fade out. So there's like,
oh wow.
So at that point you're looking at like 4 or 5 layers of editing right there. You're looking of getting all the audio in there. And
yeah, you got a vocal track, any background noise, and then you're layering it over the man. Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm wondering too. And I don't think he did. Like, he couldn't split the tracks. He couldn't get the music out of the vocals or the vocals out of the music. Like, he had to use the presented version of it. So, I mean, I don't. You know what? Maybe he did have the sound. Oh, no, he said the only thing he used that because he used the soundtrack off of Spotify or something. Used that to, put transition music in where maybe there wasn't. But yeah, the care. I mean, like I said, it's a long project regardless. Then you add the care on top of it. And he did it. You said he was done in like February, Justin?
Yeah, he said he finished up in February. He said that's why he's like, any feedback's great because, you know, I tweak it here and there, you know.
Okay. So one thing I'm curious about is that, so if it is what I'm thinking and he wants this to be a contained Eye of the World, when season 2 comes out and invariably some Eye of the World stuff is in it.
Oh, yes.
Will he squeeze it in to this edit?
Well, my thoughts are as long as it's Amazon property and it stays Amazon property, they make it very clear this is a hobby. This is not for commercial purposes. This is a fan edit. He could probably use anything that's put on screen, deleted scenes included, so he can plug those in wherever he wants as far as he goes along.
Well, because I know he could. I'm just wondering if he wants to. Like,
right.
Is he willing to make this a 5.5-hour movie with all the season 2 stuff?
No, I'm thinking more like it will be incorporated in, like, you know, when you kind of go flashbacks as his season 2 movie or 2 movies come out.
Well, I mean, if he wants the next one to be called The Great Hunt.
That's true. But I'm saying the way they do the TV show, like he could maybe even go back and put stuff from the third season if it fits better in the second season's movie. You know what I mean?
Right. I know he can. He obviously has the ability to. The guy's fucking great.
Well, and like one of my first texts with him, he was like, I was like, so what's up, man? Did you just do this as like, did you have like a school project or like what? You know, what's good? Tell me what's up. And he's like, no. He goes, I started reading them around book 6, and then I got caught up by the time book 7 came out and had to wait for him like an OG. And I was like, dude, that's what's up.
Oh, okay.
Me and my cousin Jeremy are OGs. Like, dude, you know what? I was telling Lisa a story the other day. I remember, do you remember, like, it's that fucking petrol, the Petros in fucking Lodi or whatever off of I-5. You met me there and gave me your brand new, like, you got the Shadow Rising came out, and okay. Within 4 days or like something, I think maybe it was a week, but Jeremy was like, I read it already. Don't even go buy it. Are you working today? Just meet me in Lodi. And I'm like, it was like a Saturday, and I was like, all right, cool. And so I met him in Lodi and I grabbed the hard copy, and then I had to go sit at a well for like 2 hours. So I read fucking like a third of the book, and I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Oh my God. I don't remember that.
We were I got caught up by the Dragon Reborn, and then we were waiting for the Shadow Rising to come out. You, I know, got him from the first, but I think I don't think I started reading them until like the Dragon Reborn was on its way. So by the time I caught up, it was Shadow Rising. And then it was like, as soon as I could get my hands on them, I'd devour them.
Yeah.
So.
My first three books are the Eye of the World, The Great Hunt. They're all paperbacks, but then the rest of them are all hardbacks because I didn't have to wait for them. And I don't think so. I know that they reprinted.
Do you still have them? I feel like I
still have all my
paperbacks.
Books.
Okay, maybe I got them at the bookstore.
No, I still have all mine. But and you know what really bums me out? This is gonna kill everybody who's listening. When I think it was for my 18th birthday, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, bought me a hardback copy of The Eye of the World. And when we broke up for a little bit and I let my friend borrow it, when he moved, I was like, oh, hey, can I get my book back? He's like, I don't know what I did with it, man. He's like, I think I might have gave it to somebody.
Oh.
I was like, are you joking with me? Are you joking? And I honestly, I've never seen one like it. It looked like the paperback, but with just a hard copy, like the, I keep calling it hard copy. It's not a hard copy. It's the hardback. Hardback.
Hard cop. What are you, 700?
I know.
Did you get a lithograph of it?
Lithograph. We used to go down to get a phosphate.
Was it like it was probably a version one?
Probably like a limited edition.
It was like a limited edition, yeah.
First edition.
First print or whatever.
It wasn't the first printing. I think it was a reprint of it because I think it was 1990. Well, I was 1895. No, I was 18 in 1995. And so I think she got it for me then. And I've never seen one like that since. Or else I would have snapped it up.
I can't believe she took you back.
I know, right?
Fuck, what a dirtbag. I want that the one that they just came out with that has the whole dragon on the spines. It's like, but it's like $600 or some shit. I'm like, oh. Dude, actually, literally, I was just kind of skimming my notes. The third note I took is like, they skipped Matt stealing during sex. They're trying to make him not a thief. Like, I literally wrote, they skipped the stealing. I was like, cool.
Oh, I forgot he steals it after. Yeah, I forget he rocks her to sleep and then takes her shit.
And I don't know if he changed it, but I feel like there was like an extra shot of the wine spring or something that was kind of like far away with the I don't know. It just looked really cool.
So fans, go watch this. I mean, it's a big adventure, but like if you're into the show, and I think we already mentioned it, like if you're going into season two and you're a little rusty, but you don't really feel like watching all of season one, fucking this is your shit right here. But it starts out with the cold open with Rand being born.
Yeah, Tigraine fighting in the snow against the Ilianers on the lower slopes of Dragonmount. And dude, like, how do they not just open with that? Like, I know that's a powerful scene and maybe they want to build, but like, dude, if they would have started with that, it would just been like, who is this chick? How, man, she's badass. Holy shit, she's 9 months pregnant. Who are these guys she's fighting?
Yeah.
Where are they at? Why is it so snowy? What? She's having a baby? Who's this guy? You have so many questions and just, what? What? You get no background. And like, that's the kind of good background because you're just kind of, you're sensorily overwhelmed.
Yeah. And it's with characters that
matter. They're some of the most important.
Like, I guess the cold opening is the red. I mean, it's what's her name? The Red Aja, which she's obviously going to be a big
Leandrin.
She's obviously going to be a big part of the show.
That's as confusing as Winter Dragon.
Really?
I hated that opening. Like, it was so stupid. Like it at
Why
all? Put
I mean,
that
it's,
in there?
It's fine. Like I said, I want everything on this show. I'll drink it up. But that was just like it. You know, I almost had hoped they would maybe kind of show a little. Oh man, it's not him. Like thinking he was Loghain, like as the edit. Oh man, it's not him. Oh man, we thought it was him, but it's not him. Somehow they could have done that. But you know, it was just, I didn't like that at all, man. And like, if they would have used this for a cold open, I think it just draws you in so much more.
I think they should have used the baby as the cold open.
I mean, it would have drawn you in.
You have a very good point.
That should have opened the whole, who's this baby?
Well, and you know what? The women's circle stuff at the beginning with Egwene and stuff, like it's good. I don't mind it. I don't think it's super intrinsic to the story. If you were going to be on a breakneck pace that you should have been to knock out everything in 8 episodes, those are things that don't need to be there. And you could have filled them with other things. God damn, I sound like Jeremy. Oh, God.
Well, and that's just a TV show. Just like, hey, look at these kids just living life. You know, they're doing their thing. Like, you know, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to have a party tomorrow night and it's all good. And aren't these guys fun to hang out with? You know,
well, it's so the beginning is just like, why? You don't have to take it up to 11 in the book. For Gwen to find out if she's going to be a woman, they're like, they sit around, they ask her, you know, questions, I guess. And then at the end, she gets to braid her hair. On the TV show, they take her to a ledge and they shove her off into a river, up a cliff.
Hey, good luck, fucker. Bye. You're like, and then
you're a woman now.
What?
Lisa's like, I don't see what's going on here. It just seems like they're assholes. Oh, now you're a woman. Now we're going to try to murder you real quick.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Hope she swims good. What if she doesn't swim good?
Did anyone ask her if she swam?
They grew up at the Two Rivers. They can fucking swim.
Yeah, like, I guess I should have been collecting all these rocks in my pockets, guys.
Hey, I got my phone in my pocket. Quit.
So I'm a little all over the place. I'm just kind of going down my notes. I know I've asked this question before. Are Rand and Egwene kissy this early in the book?
Not at all.
Okay.
I don't even think they never kiss, as far as I know.
I mean, they're never kissy, really, but that's kind of how Robert Jordan writes, dude. They don't tell anything. They allude to, like, even, like, later on when it's, like, a little bit more free, they allude to, like, people doing stuff. They don't ever, like, there's no steamy sex scenes, as far as I know, in the books, right? It's very PG.
It's not George R. R. Martin, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's the problem. You are setting up these expectations. You've put, especially at the end, where Rand's just like, you know, the woman I love would never do this. And she's like, I will always be there for you. And okay, guess what, guys?
Lies.
Yeah. Unless they change a whole lot, that is not true.
Yeah. Not only is she not always there for him, she don't even have his back at certain times. And she, it's bad. It's bad. Let's just say it's bad.
Well, okay. So that's kind of from a certain point of view, right? She does, but she's like, I'm not going to just capitulate to everything you want.
Right. That's true.
I think she has to stand up. She has to stand up for the people that are put their faith in her and that she's leading. But there are fights. There are definitely fights.
Misguided as though she may be.
And they do not end up together. And it's not always perfect.
It's because she's wrong.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay. I noticed one thing is that he cut a lot of when they're in the cave, there's this whole scene when him and Rand and Egwene, remember that? So they show Rand laying down, then he wakes up and he has the nightmare. But there's this whole scene where him and Egwene are talking before that, cut that right out. And I was like, that was better. It just focused more on what's going on with Rand and how he's dealing with it.
Like, you don't see Matt. Matt, doesn't Matt like puke up bats or something? They cut that out.
I think they allude to Matt.
They talk about having the dreams, but they don't. I don't think they show them all puking bats and everything.
They don't. I think it's just the Rand one.
You just reminded me they cut out the it is Nynaeve in the hot tub or whatever in that cave. That's what cave I thought you were talking about.
Oh yeah, when she hides and kills the Trolloc or whatever.
No, when Moraine doesn't Moraine.
Oh, their little conversation. Yes. She's cleaning it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go on and talk. That was a good cut.
Yeah, that was they're all, honestly, all of them.
I mean, I don't disagree with, unless I'm just missing one, I can't say that I like disagree with anything that he did. I love it, all of it. Like I said, the pacing is good. I feel like Peyton Fane, like a couple times, I don't know if he can, but like I feel like a couple times when he's lingering, like when he sets his beer and just kind of like smirks and sets his beer down or sets his ale down and leaves when the Trollocs are there, it's like he's so unconcerned with Trollocs showing up. And I'm going to ask him, maybe it's my computer, but I feel like he lightened it up a good amount in certain scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, made the fire effects more of that, which kind of makes the shadows play more. Like, there's one scene of, I think it's Matt, and the shadows are playing on his face because it's a little brighter. No, it's Perrin in the White Cloak scene where he's tied up. They've lightened it up, and the flame and shadow effects are much more dramatic because it's like you really feel like you're fucking sitting there in the thing. And it's like, it's not like, oh, this is so dark movie lighting. It's like, it seems a little bit more realistic. There's fire everywhere. It's going to be pretty bright and it lets you see the Trollocs a little more.
Yeah.
And I think it adds to the terror because like, they're really dark. Oh, dark and scary. Yeah. It's dark and scary when you could see them and their teeth and like how they're all kind of different. And they're just like, ugh, what the fuck are these things? I think it adds to the ugh factor. Like, oh shit.
Thank you for mentioning that because I thought that I was just paying attention better. Because I was just like, wow, you can really see the Trollocs. We've had a lot of conversations about how we wish the Trollocs were better. But when they were lit,
they were good.
They looked great.
Yeah. Lisa pointed out, because she's like, watch, like, Ozark is a classic example of show. It's great. It's so dark.
Yeah.
In some scenes, you can't see dick. And like, I get it because it's fucking dark in Missouri because it's dark out there. But, you know, we're also trying to watch a show.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just have the lights off and be like, I swear something is happening right here. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
Something moving.
You see like the struggle of the Blair Witch Project.
Snot, tears. Justin, did you hit your note? I don't know if you were continuing our conversation or if you hit a note.
Kinda. It was just more of like some comments, fucking just, you know, can I, Nynaeve is still a fucking gangster. I love that actress. I love where they've taken her character from the books right away. And another thing I noticed with the lighting, I feel like you get to see a little bit more complexities of what they do with their hands and the weaves and stuff like that. Like I really noticed at the end, watching Ishmael's fingers.
Yeah.
He's tying off a weave on her, dude. You can see him tie a knot and then go like a cat's cradle and fucking tighten it. And she, as soon as he tightens, it's almost like she can't breathe. She's like, and it's like, oh, I see who's shitting themselves in here. God, that stinks.
That was me. Sorry.
That is a powerful fart. I can smell it through the fucking microphone. God. But I think it's another credit to the lighting, because I think you just get a little bit more of the intricacies of what's going on.
Well, and you know, at the end, he also said, it's, you know, you can sense the true source, but you can't touch it.
Yeah.
Right. He says that. So she's not cut off. If she's cut off, she can't.
Yeah, because you wouldn't even be able to sense it once you're gentle. That's like, you just know what it used to be like when you had the Camaro.
Yeah.
God, I used to be so cool. My next note is nothing new about this edit. It's one of those things where it's like, man, this, every once in a while, this show gets a little raw. And it's crazy. When Rand and Matt go to town and they meet the bartender and she puts them to work, and Rand picks up the axe to chop the wood and says, "We'll take turns." And Matt says, "If you think she's up for it." <That's> like, Jesus Christ, Matt.
But that's Matt in the books, man, 100%.
Is it?
Oh, you up for a kiss and a cuddle? Slap, no. All right, how about you? Like, he's like, I might be dead. Like, one of the sayings of, I think he says it, but it's kind of the, you know, it's like the whole nearly dead yesterday, almost dead today, probably dead tomorrow, but blessedly alive today, or something like that. And it's like, that's what Matt lives by, man.
Yeah, that guy is, he's always got the quip, you know?
Yeah, he's kind of up for it. Yeah, he's always got a quip. He's up for it. I've been listening to the Dragon Reborn the last couple of days, and I liked these books already. And I thought that Great Hunt was really where, Great Hunt was like wetting the whistle. It was like, that was pretty good. The end of Dragon Reborn, you know, I thought one of the most epic things, you know, was, you know, Moraine no scoping Bilal. And then also when Rand, you know, cuts everybody's head off when he's going crazy. There's so much good shit in the latter half of that book.
Dragon.
I mean,
a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah. The Dragon Reborn. They're the one point when Perrin and Bran's not with them, Perrin and Moraine, they're running from the Dark Hounds. That right after they try to get attacked by Greyman, it's like this awesome scene. It's like they're in an inn. Perrin's like, shit, my axe is upstairs. So he just goes to the, you know, think about the time zone, like the times that we're in. It's like a giant, you know, high backed chair, and just rips the back leg off because it's like 6 feet long, and just starts swinging it around. He's just like, kill him. It's just like, what? But it's fucking awesome. I mean, it's just like, there's so much good shit, and there's a lot of, it's not just like action. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, comes into play in the next couple of books, and it's fucking, man, it's good.
Did he cut out the line too of the where he's like, the way of the leaf doesn't work?
Yeah,
that one. They think he did.
Unfortunately,
cut that out,
he can't edit Perrin's mouth shut. So
I don't know if it's
sorry, Marcus.
I don't know if it's jumping too far ahead too, but the cutting out all of the Swan Sanchez younger year stuff when she's in the fishing village and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so much better. Because then when she shows up.
Unnecessary.
So unnecessary. And wasted, what, 15 minutes? For nothing.
Guess what? After all this is done, you can do a new spring of movie about her fucking childhood and Moraine's
exactly.
Tower.
And no one will watch that either.
Oh.
But
oh, you
okay.
Mean because no one read New Spring?
No, I mean, no one's going to care.
Because lots of
about...
people watch the show, asshole.
Oh, that's true. But they didn't watch it for that part. So, but cutting that out, right? And then, boom, she just walks in, you know, surrounded by Aes Sedai. And you're like, oh, who is this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It totally changes the scene.
Yeah, it draws you in more, just like the opening thing. It's just like you have so many questions, but you're kind of in awe of like, whoa, we're in the Hall of the Tower. But if you don't know that it's the Hall of the Tower, if it's good. Okay, I like this shit because it's good for a fucking nerd like us.
Yes.
Because it cuts out some of the unnecessary shit that we're like, look, we know that happens. I want the fucking meat, you know? And it's great for like even Lisa and, you know, someone like Desmond who's read some of the books, you know, well, even if he goes start to finish and loves it, he'll probably never love it as much as we do. Probably, he'll probably want to put a bullet in his head after all this because it's just, it's so long and epic. But I think it's, you know, it works for the casual viewer and it works for the nerd viewer. And it's like, it's a good meeting of the minds as far as that goes, because it helps, it satisfies us and it helps people who don't know understand. And I think that's the whole goal, right?
Yeah, I was wondering, Des, like, we started reading these books when we were 14, 15. As an adult, I'm sure you don't bring with it the sense of wonder as a kid, but are they still entertaining?
Especially after seeing dragons.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Cool. I don't, it's the inability to really gobble them up. Like, I'm not a huge reader anyways. And then you add, you know, two kids and being an adult and all that shit on top of it. And like, it sucks. That's why this movie was so good for me to sit down. And I ended up watching it in two parts, like an hour and a half. And then I stayed up until one last night, watched it.
I did it in three parts.
And just being able to just gobble it all up is like, this is fucking rad.
Nice.
And the books, when I finally get a chance to like drive around for an hour and listen to the books or something, I'm like, this is so fucking cool. But then I'll go through weeks, like I mentioned last time, where it's just like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 10 minutes here.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, some of these chapters take 2 hours to read. So we're talking like 2.5 weeks for me to get through a chapter. and those times I'm just like, I guess I like it. Like, it's interesting, but I don't know what the fuck is going on. But like, yeah, because the Great Hunt is weird because it's getting crazy right now. But contextually, I don't know what's going on as much as a person should.
Where are you? Are you still in the Rands in the alternate whatever?
They just got the horn and the dagger. They've made it to town. Is it Celine?
Yeah.
They've made it to Celine's town. I can't remember if they actually went into town or not, but. So today was like the first time I was able to listen to like an hour at once.
You're about to kick the snowball downhill.
Yeah.
Because it's all about to happen. Because once you start getting to the point where they get back, then you start to kind of catch up with the Shannarians and you get, have you gotten to the Fade scene where he's nailed to the barn yet?
I don't think so. I mean,
either. I think it's coming up right after this. But I mean, okay, like, but that's why it's funny. If it's successful, I'll be like, I'm a genius. If it's not, and we never succeed at this, then I'll be like, you're stupid, Jesse. But a lot of the stuff that I've picked contextually, book wise, has been solely with you in mind. New reader, I have to make sure he stays interested in this. The things that I've given, like the Matt and Gawain and Glad fight, like, dude, I put that on and just listen to it when I need motivation. Like, I love it that much. You saw me when we were recording some of them. And I'm like, yeah, like, I read this book fucking 5 times and started 20 years ago. And I'm still like doing a fucking fist pump for shit. And, you know, like, I wanted to try to get you to those points.
I am absolutely interested.
Yeah.
And I like the story. And it's definitely going to be one of those things.
I didn't start reading until I could drive, bitch. So.
Oh, sorry.
I know once I get, well, it's going to be interesting too, because like once I get to 4 or 5, like I could see me cranking the speed up to 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Yeah. Once you get through Fires of Heaven, which is books 5. You're going to be able to roll and then it, I need to back that up about 10 minutes and listen to that on regular speed.
Yeah.
But absolutely, because there's going to be a lot of the stuff of the, look at these beautiful tapestries and wall hangings depicting hunting scenes from the past. It's like, this is not fucking important to my job. We're not doing that.
Elaine talking to her cousin about who is loyal to her and then going and riding out and then how the camp is arranged, riding through the camp, and then you're just like, oh. And then you're like, okay, so the next chapter is going to be about something. Nope, still Elaine. Oh, God. Okay, the next one's going to go back to Rand. Nope, still with Elaine, huh? Still with Elaine thing.
Brigitte cracked a joke. She's drunk. Well, that was an interesting part of that chapter.
Yep. And moving on, and we're going to get to, still with Elaine. Still with Elaine.
Somebody mentioned the lady Dylan in... Dragon Reborn, I was just like,
No.
You guys want to hear something fucked up?
Yeah.
We're going to be doing this podcast when we're 50.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. By then, be living in Costa Rica doing it.
Yeah, I hope so too.
We'll be on season 5 or 6 by then.
6, maybe.
6, yeah.
Yeah, the show won't even be over.
Exactly. It's going to be fucking rad. We're gonna grow old with this show.
What? I forgot. Where are we? Thank the light! At what? Bourbon's kicking in.
The one scene that I remembered, I'm sure during our rewatch, I'll be like, oh, that probably should have been in there. The one scene, I think, again, even if he doesn't think it makes sense for Eye of the World, if he still wants these movies to, if you only watch his movies, you never watch the show, you just watch his movies and it all makes sense, I think cutting out the oath rod was a mistake. I think that's a big deal in Moraine's story.
I can agree on the oath rod part, the whole scene itself, and seeing as how he can't put on other...
He had most of that scene.
You can't change the conversation, and so it's just not important. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy? I just don't think it's that important.
I think it's gonna be.
I hated the oath rod scene, but then when it's the scene, it's when she's just like basically just like sitting there and goes, "Now you will turn around, and everyone will turn their back on you," or whatever she says, and you must leave the tower. And it's just kind of come out of nowhere. If you know, with that edit, I didn't care because I knew what happened. But you're right; it was kind of
well. And I think I still think it works. But I think
really, because I think there's little enough setup before it actually happens. It's kind of weird to me to begin with. I mean, a couple people mentioned, "Oh, you've made enemies in the tower," and she's kind of like, "I'm fucking the fucking boss, so whatever." I think if you tried to slam it into this edit, it wouldn't make any sense.
That's fine. But when it comes back in season 2, that's one of the big reasons why she was able to accomplish whatever she's going to accomplish in season 2, whether it's spot on the Great Hunt or not.
So if it's a tool to move the narrative along, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's just kind of there because like we want to show their bond of her saying, "I'm not going to, I won't obey anyone but Suan Sanche." And like, so no matter who's, she's not going to swear allegiance to the Amiran seat because that could be anybody. Because
that's got to have something to do with why she can still see the power. Got to.
No.
Then why? Why is she the first Aes Sedai in 3,000 years?
I don't, we have the same question, right, Jeremy? I mean, I don't know.
What's the question?
To like re-swear on the oath rod. Like she has taken her oaths and then she takes another oath. Oh, I know why they did it, Jeremy. I know why they did it, Jeremy.
So I don't understand. What are you saying? See the power.
Well, you guys were talking about, I'm referencing a conversation you guys had 30 minutes ago about how she can see the power, feel the power, but can't touch it. Which generally when you're stilled she's stilled, it's just gone.
No, she's tied off. She has a shield tied off, a very strong shield tied off. Because if she were stilled, she shouldn't be able to sense the power at all. It's like I said, it's just like, oh man, I really...
So is that him being cruel then? Instead of stilling her, he's allowing her to sniff the power but not use it, which is which is worse than death?
Honestly, it in book-wise, TV show-wise, anything that I can think of, it makes no sense to her to just tie her off. Might as well just cut her off completely. There's no reason to do it.
Is to torture her.
Sure does. Think about, because yes, but.
But why? He doesn't even know who she is.
He's an asshole.
To him, she's nothing.
It's arrogance, dude. It's arrogance.
Maybe.
It's 100% arrogance because it's like you said, she's nothing. It's like she knows nothing as far as he's concerned. And he's that unconcerned with her that I can just tie you off and you're never going to break this. I don't even need to waste the time to cut you off. Also, probably don't want to expend that much of the power when he might have to go toe-to-toe with Rand at that moment.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe that's...
It's pretty simple for him to tie off a fucking shield right quick.
But it's also easy. It's just to sever somebody, too. It's not like it takes like a bunch of power.
I think it's just like every fucking Forsaken in the show, they're just arrogant and they don't think things through. It's like, whatever. This person's never going to come back to haunt me.
It's the deus ex machina that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
If you cut her off, then we have to like do a whole bunch of other stuff to get her to back to doing it. Instead, we'll just shield her.
Yeah.
We won't give her a reason why. And then somehow she can break out of that shield and then she's back.
Well, and it'll be Nynaeve. Nynaeve will heal her shield.
No.
No. You can just...
That's not going to happen. She's going to figure out a way to break
out
of it.
You don't know. You don't know.
I do know. You know what? I do know because this is going to... Well, okay. I don't know. But Jeremy, you can disagree. Tell me. I really want to hear your opinion.
Okay.
I think they're going to set up Moraine's shield tying off because she's going to figure out how to break it like Rand breaks it when he's in the box.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
And they're going to set up that mechanic because when Rand does it, there's going to be shit going on around him. There's going to be shit blowing up. He's going to be going insane. You're going to be more concentrated on the storytelling because he's having conversations with Luz Theron in his head because he's been locked in a box for like fucking 2 months and he's going crazy. And so you're going to be focusing on what he's talking to him about and how he's the way he describes it is he's like, I'm like a frantic
weasel,
something trying to crawl. Yeah, like a frantic badger trying to claw his way across the ice of the lake, like, ah, like trying to find the safe spot. And he finally finds the shields and busts it because he's strong enough to do so. But I think they're going to use it as a thing to tell how the power works and how you can do stuff with the power. Because once you start getting to that point, the stuff that they start to do is super complex. And if you're not a fucking Dungeons and Dragons nerd, you're not going to get it.
Yeah. And then there would have to be a lot of exposition to explain what he's actually doing.
Exactly. And I think that he set it up so he doesn't have to, I think some of the stuff we had to do in the first season are so that they can not have to waste as much time going forward on things.
You're giving these guys a whole lot of credit.
No, that's how you make TV shows, though. That's just...
Yeah, it evolves. It evolves as you go.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of stuff that you're inferring that may or may not be true. And it could be something else completely. The one thing...
This show has to just... Yeah, I guess it doesn't have to do anything. You're right.
I think so. I think without the restrictions from COVID, the bigger budget, they're going to be so much less restrictions.
All I have to say is The Last Jedi. You think that everybody has an idea, or I'll say
J.J. Abrams is not a part of this.
I'll throw out the word lost. You think everyone's got a grand plan, and turns out there ain't no plan. They show up.
But there's source material to draw from on this. Lost was a complete...
Because remember, they're trying to bring people in that don't give a fuck about the books. And so how you do that is you create characters that you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yes, but you can also create horrible characters too, right? That everyone hates, but they still want to watch. That
right.
too.
Roose Bolton.
Exactly. Or Jaime Lannister.
Yeah.
Leandrin, I hate her, and they're slow burning her just as much as they're slow burning everyone else.
I hope they make you hate her as much as they do in the books, because you will hate her.
Okay, you will hate
her. She's a fucking big turd.
I'm starting to hate Celine. I don't know what the fuck's up with her, but fuck her.
Go with your gut.
I'll go with your gut. I was just going to say, hold on to that feeling.
Fuck her.
But one more thing about the Oathrod, and maybe I'm giving too much credit again, Jeremy, but I think they did the Oathrod stuff to set up the stuff with Egwene towards the end to show that you can take another oath to be loyal to a certain person to prove certain things.
Sure.
Because that's kind of what they were doing. Su-Ann was kind of like, hey, you need to not be a dark friend, and we're on the same page about the dragon.
Yeah, we could do that. They could be doing that, or they could just be like,
maybe
hey,
I'm giving them way too much credit, but that's kind of.
But they've already brought up the three O's, right? So they might want to be like, well, this is how you get the three O's, and they just want to show it to you, and that's totally fine,
right?
Whatever that is.
Right.
The one thing that we did talk about, Des, and you'd said how she could see the power if she's cut off. So the way that Justin and I explained it from the books is that they can't, people who can't channel can't see it. And women can't see what men are doing and vice versa. That is not what it's like on the TV show. Like if you watched it, I was watching it last night. There's like when they do anything with the air and it shows like stuff moving, there's shadows, there's lights reflecting on the people. So they see everything that's going on. So that stuff is not just happening out of nowhere and people aren't going like, oh, what's going on? They can see all that stuff because there's
all the swirls and stuff.
All the swirls, all that thing.
Do you think that, or they're just doing that for the fourth wall people, and that all they see is Moraine kind of doing this shit, but they're not seeing anything but like what manifests, like the lightning
I don't think so, Brett.
If it's reacting, he's got a good point. If it's reacting to the light in the scene,
and the scene that I would have you go back and watch is when Logan is in the cave and they are all doing the power and stuff on them. There's lights flashing and it's reflecting and there's shadows on the wall.
Well, the women react. Well, I guess they kind of get when he breaks the shield, he kind of throws them, but they react to him seeing him kind of channel.
And when Steppen goes, you know, hits him with the double axes and it just stops.
Yeah.
Right. And it, right there, it's like all that stuff is reflecting off of him. So, yeah, it's not like the books, which and then that's not something that I care about, really.
Yeah.
But we can't keep talking about it like it's what's going on.
Yeah. And it's and for again, for a visual medium, I think I see what you're saying, though. It would have made sense for it just to be there for us, the viewer.
Sure.
But not be there for everyone else. But in general, because I remember Justin brought that up really early, just like why in the books you can't see shit. They're just and they're not even really moving their hands that much. I think you said in the books they're
not at all. Hardly.
Not a lot. More like the one chick when she kind of does one of these and you see the air kind of blow up the ground. More like that. A little bit more Jedi-ish.
At the end, one there's a really great scene with Rand when he destroys an entire Trolloc army by himself. And he's just like walking out and he just lifts his hand, his one hand into the air. And he's just like basically has it open and then just like closes it and just unleashes devastation.
Is that when he goes to like, he just travels to and he knows it's a trap, but he doesn't care.
Yeah. And who's the one general that.
I think Rodel. Yeah. I think Rodel Interald or whatever.
And he's like,
he just shows like, up and he's like, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm not going to let your people die and just fucking annihilates. It's insane. Oh, dude.
Yes.
He's fucking up. That fart is so bad. He's fucking up your connection, Justin.
Yeah, dude. It's like, oh, the Wi-Fi is bad because it's thick in here.
It wrecked your Wi-Fi.
So here's something, again, this isn't specific to this cut, but something I picked up on. So I just assume Moraine's been walking the land looking for the dragon reborn. But when she gets to the White Tower and gets interrogated, it's a big fucking mystery what she's been doing for the last 2 years.
20 years.
You want to say this, Jeremy?
They mention the last 2 years. They do say 20 years, but then there's a big focus on what the fuck, why can't she just say, I'm stomping the land looking for the dragon.
Oh,
because people don't want the dragon.
Yeah, there's too much at stake with that because the Red Sisters are going to find him and just immediately gentle him. And they don't want to do that. Or they could try to take him and use him as a puppet or just, you know, I'm sure she knows that there are dark friends in the tower just like that. And so as soon as they find out, then all the dark friends and all the shadow, they all know where he is too.
Well, so they don't, she doesn't have to say that she found him, but she can still tell her sisters that's what she's been doing because the White Tower wants the dragon found, right?
Okay.
Yes.
I want to answer this one, but I got to ask a question to you first, Des, and you can drop this. Have you figured out that Liandrin is,
oh yeah. She's as dark as they come.
Okay. So that being said, she thinks she's kind of feeling like she might have already gentled the dragon in Loghain because she's talking about how strong he is. And, you know, she's not on the good guy's side. If she could fucking gentle the dragon reborn, oh, problem solved. That's it. And so I think that she is, from that point of view, you know, that's why she's so hot after every man. You know, that's the whole point of the Red Aja. You know, she's so hot on any man who could channel, especially right now. Because they're looking for the dragon. They know he's been born.
Yeah, and so...
Or maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know he's the dragon, but they know he's a very important Tavirin.
So no one in the White Tower... Everyone in the White Tower thinks that Moraine is just out hunting dick.
Fucking around for 2 years, but whatever. Just
jerking off?
There was a foretelling 20 years ago, and the only people around were her and Swan. And was there one other person or just them two, Jeremy?
It was her and Swan, and I think it was the old Amyrlin. Who's now dead and died under mysterious circumstances too, as far as I remember.
Exactly. And then the lady who had the foretelling dropped dead right after it.
Dropped dead instantly.
So no one else in the White Tower knows that the dragon was born 20 years ago.
Nobody.
Nope. Nobody.
Huh.
I don't even think they suspect.
No.
Well, unless you're a dark friend.
Yeah.
Because they have inside information, basically.
There might be one other person who suspects, but she also...
Burp, burp, burp.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about? Little Brown Aja. Little Brown Aja lady. Who might suspect. One of her favorites.
God, she's, dude, her one of her, her story arc is one of the best. Dude, again, with the lighting, the Shadar Logoth even looks better to me. The contrast of the day and the night when Mashadar comes, like, even the subtle tweaks of the lighting, I think, were made a huge difference there, too.
Yeah, that's true, if that's what happened.
Do you think the dead stone dog is Gaul, Jeremy? The one who Matt steals the amethyst and they find the stone dog in his pocket? Because Gaul's a stone dog. Do you think that'll somehow, like, be Gaul? Because you're talking about him, it might not be in it.
That would be horrible if they killed him off like that before he was ever even on the show.
Yeah, I'd be super sad, but, you know.
There's one more thing for me to dislike about this whole show.
I know, I'm not trying to bring up shit like that, I swear to God, but I'm like, God damn it, I just keep pointing out shit he's gonna hate.
Don't do that. Don't you do that.
Let's shine a light on stuff he's already gonna be mad at.
It's a short trip.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Did anybody catch Rand reading the Carithian cycle when, right before he meets Loial?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, is that what he was reading?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what that is, Des?
No.
Oh. It's the prophecies. The prophecies of the dragon.
I think you're lying about reading the book, man. It's the prophecies of the dragon. That's kind of why Rand starts going crazy. It's like, you know, paralysis by analysis. He's kind of the opposite. He was like, I can't think of something to ride with schizophrenia and reading, but it's like he read too much and then went fucking nuts.
Sassafrenia.
Is that when you like feet?
Pretty sure. Sorry, Desmond. Continue.
Sorry, Desmond.
Is now that I have the books, I've got the glossaries in the back.
Ooh, yes.
That's going to help a lot. When I'm just like, what? Wait, have I even read these books? I can flip to the back and just find some words and characters. Go, okay. I get it now.
Yes. There is a very good glossary in the back of those books that will tell you a lot of the terms or people or where they come from or how to pronounce a word.
I was just going to ask if they have pronunciation.
Yes, they do have pronunciations.
You have just glossary, Justin?
Yeah.
Is that the Bible or is there? Oh,
I have a Bible, but it's like more vague. But then there's this other one that's a straight. It's like this thick and it's just like it's got people, places and things of everything, and it's as thick as one of the goddamn books.
We got to start having, that's got to be a part of our show now, is Justin does a reading. Jeremy and I will just pick a random number. You can go to that page
420.
Yeah,
the next day, page 420.
Only what if I can read it with my Robert Jordan affectation.
Absolutely.
Child Valda is still a no, that's more Bill Cosby. I can't, I'm fucking it up. Nobody wants that.
You know what else,
speaking of feet. Sorry.
Something else I did, it was so easy again, because like, as much as I like these shows, like, you know, watching them for the podcast, you know, a lot of times I end up watching them back to back to back. And so whatever third one I'm watching, I start to phase out a little bit. I don't remember Moraine officially sending the Red Aja to get Matt.
I did remember that because it shocked me. I was like, wait, what? Why would you do that?
Yeah. She's just like, let's get rid of this kid. Like, I'm already taking these four to die, probably. So we don't need Matt. Moraine says, send word back to the Red Aja to find Matt, find the boy with the dagger.
My thoughts on that, I was like you, Jeremy. I was like, oh, whoa. But my thoughts are this. If Moraine were to just say, hey, go find this guy, he might be sick. The rest of the tower is going to be like, Two things. Maybe she's hedging her bets in case it's not Rand or Perrin who can channel and it's Matt and he's already fucked off. Or that if the Reds think he can channel, they will make sure to find him. And when there's nothing to channel, they'll be like, he's sick. He needs to be healed. And at least he'll already be in the tower.
That's a good point.
That's my thoughts, is that the Reds are going to bring him in thinking he can channel. I'm like, he can't channel. And they're like, he's just fucking sick. And then they'll heal him. And that's how he gets to the tower.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because at that time, they have no idea who it is, right? They don't know if it's Rand, Perrin, Matt. Well,
I feel like Moraine has a kind of a hint, but, you know, I think, yeah, she's just kind of like hedging her bets, like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
And he's Tarvirin anyway, so he's gonna cause some shit to happen.
Yeah. So they cut the whole, I think we've already brought this up, but let's revel in it. They cut this whole stepping part out. So good.
I don't even want to say that because a lot of people were so all about it, especially like, you know, on Twitter and stuff. But it's like, I didn't love it.
No, it was so terrible.
Desmond loved it.
Hey, as long as you liked it.
I just loved Steppen. And so
was a good character.
The fact that he's...
Yeah, Steppen was a good character.
The fact that he's dead, no matter what cut you watch, we're never going to see him again. So that made him unnecessary for this cut. But I just fucking dug him, and I was excited to see more of him.
He was a fun character.
It's not even the stepping part that we hate. It's the land part that we hate. The beating the chest. And then, yeah. You're like, that is so outside of what land should be. And what land has been up until that point.
Yeah.
He's just like the stoic, like says like five words. Even Matt makes it. Remember when land explains something?
When they're in Shadar Logan, yeah. He's like, first of all, most words you've ever put together in one sentence.
Maybe ever.
Secondly, maybe why would we want to go to a place that fucking Trollocs don't want to go? Secondly.
And you know what sucks too? So with the stupid scenes that nobody wanted, okay, maybe people wanted the step in and the swan song when she's a baby or a little kid and all that garbage. You don't get those funny quips from Matt.
She was the baby? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, swan song was the baby the whole time.
Dun, dun, dun.
God. No wonder we all hated that. We all hated the baby. But we didn't get the quips that you would get from Matt because you got to the part where he got the dagger and he starts kind of going downhill too fast. You know, he had to go downhill too fast. In the books, it's a more slow process, and he still has the funny stuff, and he still gets into trouble, and
he's still
like
kind
that.
Of a whiny fuck, though, until, like, honestly, that's one of the reasons why I start loving Dragon Reborn, is because his luck starts when he's at the tower, but when he gets down into Tyr with Tom, some of the shit that he does, he figures out that his luck is random. Like, it doesn't work as good with, like, stones. It's like, it works great with a battle plan because it's constantly evolving and changing. You don't know what's going to happen. That's why his luck is really good with dice or a random fight. I mean, when he stops, like, looking and searching every inn, he just randomly goes into the one he needs to go into. And he's like, cool. He starts throwing dice with a guy who's got weighted dice. Doesn't fucking matter. He still wins.
Yeah. Yeah, so Matt is kind of like that guy. And in the first two books, he's kind of like that guy, like, danger's that way. We should go that way. And so, but then in the rest of the books, he's just kind of like, ugh, everyone else is in trouble. And he's like, Indiana Jones?
Yeah, he's Han Solo, dude. He's Han Solo at the beginning when he's like, I don't want to do this, but
yes,
I guess I'm gonna, or I'm never gonna sleep again.
He's Indiana Jones when he's a kid in the last Crusade, when he's like, everyone else is lost but me.
I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm fine. Well, and then, like, dude, when Matt starts to come into his luck, he's the same way. It's like he has some fucking letter from Elaine to her mom for whatever reason. And he figures out there's a plot. So he's just like, well, I got to go find him. And he just will not stop till he goes and finds Elaine and Nynaeve and Egwene. And he's just like, he's not getting paid. He's just like, whoa, I mean, they're my friends. They're going to get fucking murdered. And I got to go. And Tom's like, you're a fool, but all right, I'm coming too.
Go, gotta go.
Like, I like knowing the runtime because it kind of builds anticipation, knowing that, like, oh, I'm running out of minutes. Like, what are they going to keep? You know, it's like, I think I kind of like movies like that because when a movie's good, you can kind of feel when it's coming, and I could feel it without looking at the time. I was like, dude, I know. I mean, I kind of know the story too, but like, oh man, it's about to be on. There's, you know, they got a lot to put in here, you know?
And it did have a more of a natural arc instead of like, you know, like, oh, we're going to the final battle. Oh, we're going to come over here and have this conversation for a minute. Oh, we're going to the final battle. Oh, wait, let's go over here for a minute. It was just like,
well, yeah, you know, towards the end, he cuts out the whole scenes with Nynaeve and following land to the Malkyrs and that whole scene. Cut all that out. Cut out the love scene and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's one of those things that, yeah, you probably have to put in so much shit around it that it starts to get muddy. But I felt like he should have left the lovemaking scene between Nynaeve and land.
You know, I think that's honestly the... Like Jeremy said, the love letter to the books in what this is because he's like trying to channel his inner Robert Jordan. He's really trying to tell that story like with the alluded to things as opposed to just fucking hitting him over the head. And so I think a lot of things, that's what I noticed, is that he took out some things that would over explain just to be more vague about it as to leave it to you, which is what Robert Jordan did. So I think that's what helps it feel a little more true to the books for me. That's what I felt anyway.
And I forget about that whole dinner scene too. I definitely I mean, I don't know. I guess you learn about Lan a little bit more, which is nice, but you could have done that somewhere else. Like,
Lan has no family except for these one people. Sometimes he goes to see him. Well, explained.
Seems like there's a lot of them.
All these motherfuckers are with Lan.
I like the way that they cut the reveal of Rand and Min, because that's a different scene completely, almost, right? When she's telling him, oh, the first vision I ever had, and they flashed to his debt.
No, I thought that too. That's actually in the episode.
Is that how they explain it to you?
Yeah.
He just cuts out the extraneous shit in between and around it.
Yes, he does.
Which is fine, because that makes it so much fucking better. That was one of the things that he mentioned to me. He's like, it's really about becoming full circle with Rand accepting that he's the dragon and his heritage.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I didn't even notice got cut. You know, there's just little, like you were saying with Aegelmar and maybe complaining or something like that. And I don't even remember those scenes, because it just like, he just went right past him.
Yeah, because it's like he and his sister both seem, and like they're trying to be noble, but they also kind of want glory. But it's like they come off as like very much more altruistic, and that's how they were in the books. So it's like, that's again what made me like it a lot. Do you think that Moraine figured out in the ways that it was Rand? Because someone channeled to throw that Trolloc off. She knows it wasn't her. She didn't feel any females channeling. I guess she just knows it's probably one of the boys, but Rand was right there. So you would think by logical deduction, you could figure out who it was. Because she didn't feel Egwene channel, she would have known.
But they don't really establish that that women can feel other women channel, right? They don't establish that.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I would have thought the same thing, but...
But they could see the power.
He's like this over the top of her, remember? In that scene?
That's fair.
Yeah, and it should have had the little black, you know, taint, obvious, you know, stuff gone it, the black taint, you know?
It's just really inside. Dark in there, bro. It's fine. Yeah. The taint's everywhere. My taint is everywhere. Lisa just walked by and goes, gross.
She's like, what are you guys talking about?
I know. She's like, sorry, I swear you guys are talking about fucking porn movies. It's fine. It's the Wheel of Time. It sounds like porn, weirdos. And the last thing I had to say is, like, I just really noticed, like, Moraine's naivety is, like, on level 10 when they're, like, working through the Blight. Because, like, she's just as convinced as Rand, like, this is it. It's all over. And then it's like, wait, the Heartstone broke and it's not supposed to break. And yeah. I can't feel the power. And, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, do you think that... So, she explains that the Eye of the World is the Dark One's prison. Do you think that that's... They're going to explain that away and be like...
That's just what she thought, but it's not.
Yeah.
I think they're going to sort of figure out, like, Harry Potter. Oh, there's a Horcrux. Shit, I think there's 3 Horcruxes. Fuck, there's 8 Horcruxes. I think it's going to be like, there's a giant seal or 6 more. Fuck. Because they haven't talked about the number of seals or anything like that. He talks about, oh, you came here with your 99 companions who are much stronger than her. Why would you think you can come beat me with her? You're untrained and she's basically nothing.
And you know, we were talking about last week, that has nothing to do with the edit that we watched, but we were talking about, you wanted to see when they walk through to do the accepted testing, you wanted to see the flashes. I don't think you're going to see those.
I don't think so either.
Because they basically took that flash. One of the flashes that Egwene has is the one that you see.
Is Rand's like dream shard that Ishmael puts him in for a minute. So yeah.
That is exactly it.
Well, I'm hoping that they do that because it's important. And the only dream shard that I really want was the clip that we did on the podcast where Rand is trapped and telling her to kill him. Because that one, dude, to see that on screen would be really fucking good, man. Like really
good. That'd be brutal.
It would be so brutal. Especially if they like decided to work it in like towards the end of this season or the beginning of the third. Oh God, it was like, my heart is so broken.
So my final thoughts are, I think this is an amazing companion piece. Like this doesn't make me dislike the original material as much. It does, I did catch a lot more stuff because, you know, I didn't zone out during boring conversations that even as someone.
Exactly. I feel like you got to pick up some more important shit.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear you say that.
I didn't see Matt channel in, even though they even flash back to it too, I don't remember seeing Matt channel in the Rand channel in the ways. Like, I didn't remember that at all.
Well, they really do it dark, and like you just kind of automatically think it's, if you don't have the background, you automatically think it's Egwene. But that was one of the first things I said. I'm like, that wasn't her.
So yeah, I'm really excited to talk to him on Sunday, and thank the light for listening to our fan edit podcast. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman on Twitter. You can send your questions directly to us. We are going to interview this guy very quickly after this is released. But if you out there have any questions you want to get to us, we won't have time for a ton of them. But just any thoughts that you have, I'd love to dig this guy's brain. We got 60 minutes, so we're going to use every second. You can hit us up at Parse Ailman on Twitter, or send them directly to me at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Tinkers walk single file to hide their numbers.
Oh, that's great.
That's what I learned watching the cut last night.
Tinkers and sand people.
they're exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Meaning like Anakin should kill them all, or what are we talking about?
Just the children. Just the children. Anakin should only kill the children.
I think that's it, man.
All right, now you guys say goodbye.
Oh, what? I have to say goodbye.
All right, hashtag Billy Zane as Asmodian.
I just want to tell you, I am only the parched Aiel. You guys are the men. Good night. I am not average, I am not ordinary, I am a masterpiece, you know I do it for me. I am not perfect, no that's imaginary, but I'm a masterpiece, you know I do it for me. And all my colors and paints, all my lines and my shapes, every move that I make, I do it for me. I am not basic, it's self-explanatory. Jeremy's never gonna stop.
Don't cut this either, Des.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Why don't you just turn it back where it was and don't scream at us?
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. That is not gonna happen. Welcome, Chrononauts.